The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take it to sim, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D. Lovely. Downtown Las Vegas. What are we expecting? 107, 108 today? Degrees? Fahrenheit?
It's too hot. It's too hot. I've been beaten down by it a couple of these days.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the... I don't know if you know this, but you're in a desert.
Where you have to retreat indoors and just crank down the AC.
Totally. Well said. Retreat indoors.
Retreat.
Yes.
And then I don't know about you, but you and I are in and out of like the casinos so much that My mother, former nurse, always tells me this is just an old wives' tale.
Oh, but I know what's coming.
It's this, like the runny nose sniffles because we go in from like 63 degrees to 110 degrees.
Yep. It's like flying from Vegas to San Francisco in July. It's like a 50-degree drop. We are loaded today. Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, talking NBA Finals with us as the NBA Finals does us all a favor and resumes tonight with Game 3 at Dallas, the American Airlines Arena. JVT will join us momentarily. Sia Najad on the U.S. Open. Matt Grissom on the College World Series. Wilson Hilson will join us with all his bets, as will Jason Weingart from Under a Cloud of Smoke. So everybody coming up on the show today. We want to start with... as PTI usually says, a melancholy goodbye to Jerry West. Jerry West, this just a couple weeks after the passing of another NBA great, Bill Walton, which caught everybody by surprise because no one really knew Bill was sick. Well, Jerry West passing away at the age of 86 years old. What can you say about Jerry West other than starting with he's the NBA logo? It's his silhouette. That is the logo of the entire National Basketball Association. If you go back way in his childhood, grew up in a West Virginia coal mining town. Kelly, his older brother, died in the Korean War. He struggled with depression throughout his life, but was just a basketball great. Three-time All-American at West Virginia, 14 seasons in the NBA, all-star in every one of them.
Incredible.
Along with Wilt and Oscar were the first people to get to 25,000 points. He's still to this day one of only five NBA players in history to average 25-5-5 throughout a career. 25 points, wow. 5 boards, and 5 assists. And I think probably even better, as great as his NBA career was, one of the 50 greats of all time, one of the 75 greats, one of the, you know, he's a better executive. And there's so many stories. There's the famous Kobe story where he shut down the workout when he was working for the Lakers. He's like, we don't need to see it. We don't want anybody else to see any more of this kid.
Yep.
They traded for him famously on draft day. But he also, from the Warriors standpoint, he was a consultant to the Warriors. He was the one who nixed a Klay Thompson trade so many years ago. Remember, there was a proposed Klay Thompson for Kevin Love trade. I want to say this was back in 2014 even. And Jerry West was like, nope, you don't want to do that. So many things that he touched. He was also with the Clippers when they acquired Kawhi and Paul George. Mm-hmm. So many, just a basketball life that was just phenomenal. And sadly, can I just say this as a postscript? I'm sad that I even have to add this, but to a younger generation, their only exposure to him might have been from that HBO Max Winning Time series where he was portrayed awfully.
Yeah.
And remember, we came on air. And maybe Parles was my producer at the time, but I would always say, I'm like, you know, the only thing I don't understand about this, why are they murdering Jerry West in this?
I was with you because you and I kept talking about, we loved the series so much.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I don't think we've talked about this in a long time. I still haven't fired up season two because I was so depressed when I heard they canceled it. I'm like, I'm not going to watch season two.
Me too.
But you're right. That was a great series. And yes, that was one of the few awkward parts about it. You're like, why do they make him look so bad?
Yeah. Most famous shot, for those who remember this way back when, also we'll leave it at this, but in the 1970 NBA Finals against the Knicks, he hit a 60-footer to force overtime in Game 3, too. That was his most iconic moment on the court.
He's the logo, man.
End of the day,
he's the logo. It's not MJ. It's not anybody else. It's Jerry West.
Yeah, Jerry West, may he rest in peace, passing away at the age of 86. No artful way to segue to today's NBA and to our betting thoughts. But let me just start with another tried and true theme here on the show, which is, boy, oh boy, when Nevada gets sports betting, what a state this is going to be to live in when they legalize it here. Kelly, yesterday I wanted to make a donation and bet the NBA Finals MVP. I wanted to bet Jrue Holiday at plus 750, which, you know, like plus 750 bets are likely to lose, correct?
Correct.
I searched around town. Nobody had it. Not a single shop that I found had NBA Finals MVP up. Now, of course, DraftKings is not here.
I'm checking.
So you can buy, you can do it so in your jurisdiction with DraftKings and other books, but you can't do it in the state of Nevada, apparently, because nobody. Now you can, by the way. It's not like a Nevada gaming thing. You're allowed to do it. I imagine they had them before.
Yeah, I mean, I bet it before.
They don't have it up this morning either. So anyway.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to
give you my money. You will not take my money.
It is. I mean, you and I were texting about it. It is. Yeah. Just something. Just something.
It's a great description.
How many times a month?
It is something.
How many times a month I walk around this city being like, will you take my money? Who will take my money here? Nobody? No, you don't want to take my money.
Okay. Are we booking or are we not booking? Kelly provides a rundown, by the way. Kelly has so many roles as producer number 9 on this show. Show bouncer being perhaps his most important one. But also he provides me with a rundown before every show. Now, Kelly, you provide notes. I don't really consult them 19 of 20 times, would you say? But every once in a while, you'll put something in here.
Yeah, but I like you to have them.
I love that you put them. Every once in a while, you'll put a nugget in there. I'll be like, oh, Ben Wilson, all around great guy. See what you wrote there.
Right today.
Well, you have a Joey Chestnut note, which I'm sort of giggling in my head.
But Major news kill. Come on, man.
We'll get to that momentarily. But the other one is Kristaps Porzingis, of course,
yeah.
Who suffered what the team called a rare injury. That's a quote to his left leg. It is listed as questionable for tonight's game, game 3 of the NBA Finals. Let me just tell you what that leg injury is in terms of the medical terminology. A dislocation of the posterior tibialis tendon in his left leg. Yeah. That's not common. So the Celtics said yesterday that you even had this different. Torn medial... I don't even know how to say this word.
Yeah, me either.
Retinaculum?
Retinaculum?
Right,
sure.
Allowing the dislocation of the posterior tibialis tendon in his left leg. So they said his status...
Yeah, but a Twitter doctor went way in here.
Twitter doctor, Brian Sutterer, no relation to Roger Federer. He says the medial retinaculum, I don't know, I'm not saying that right, is like a seatbelt that keeps the tendons in place as they course around the inside of the ankle bone. There are 3 tendons that travel along the inside of the ankle, and that seatbelt keeps them secured in place. The posterior tibialis tendon is one of said tendons. Shams adds...
That was his original.
That was Shams' original tweet on this.
Do have you want to hear Mazzulla talking about it yesterday? I thought he had interesting comments yesterday.
Well, the point I was going to make is everybody's saying, so they're saying he's day-to-day.
Right.
How in the world is he day-to-day? There's no way he's playing tonight, right?
I wouldn't think so, but let's listen to Mazzulla.
Here's what Joe Mazzulla had to say, head coach of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing anything and everything he can to be ready for the game tomorrow. It's a serious injury, and at the end of the day, our team and the medical team is not going to put him in any bad situations. And so we've taken a decision to play out of his hands because of the importance of him. And so he's going to do everything he can to play, and then we're going to leave it up to our medical team, and that's really it.
And that's the important part. Serious injury. We're taking the decision out of his hands.
Yep.
So up 2-0. I can't imagine they play him tonight. And by the way, my spider senses tell me he ain't playing at all. Like, yeah. I just feel like you don't risk that.
So this is where it's we always got to – it's hard for me to remove myself from my Mavericks ticket, right?
Right.
But as a Mavericks bettor, like, this is a – even him – like, him not going, Gil, hasn't made that much of a difference in 2 games. Like, I don't know that I'm going to expect it would in the third. So if you're the Boston side, I would – at least be resting him tonight. I mean, obviously, this.
Well, he mattered in game 1.
Oh, he was big. He was big. What has he played? 41 minutes, I believe, over the course of 2 games. The big difference is, okay, you can run him and Horford, and you don't have to fall back then to the other option that's going to be the next guy coming off the bench, where finally Boston becomes maybe a little weak where you can attack them. But the way they've handled this Dallas offense so far, Horford's been great. Like, I, I don't know that right now I'm all that concerned about a huge drop-off for Boston. Therefore, if I'm Boston, there's no way I'm playing him tonight.
Mavericks now a 2.5-point favorite. Game 3 tonight. Total at 213. We haven't talked about the total. You lean in. Both of these have gone under so far.
Yeah, I leaned. I bet over in game one. Leaned over in both of them. I don't know how you can look that way until you finally see something out of this Dallas offense that looks like they are operating with some sort of efficiency, because they have not shown that at all in the first two games.
So as a guy with a Mavericks ticket, what you're telling me is this does not qualify as a glimmer of hope to you. Like the Porzingis,
I gotta see something.
Porzingis
no.
perhaps being out here does not give you some light in the door.
I got to see. I don't want to say completely not, because of course it does a little bit, but like the Dallas Mavericks got to show they can beat this team even without Porzingis. I don't know they've really proven that they can win those minutes so far. They haven't. They haven't won those minutes.
Say you didn't have your ticket. Would you take Boston in five at plus 205?
Probably.
Gentlemen sweep?
Yeah.
Dallas takes one of these two?
Probably.
Tonight or Friday night, and then they come back and they win it Monday night in Boston.
Do you think that is the most likely outcome? The one bet I did make tonight was I've bet this, I don't think every game, but the past two games, P.J. Washington over his points, over 14.5. He's been the one. Not like this isn't something that's going to win you games. That's why it doesn't matter that much. But often the way that Boston's been defending, they end up having a smaller defender on P.J. Washington, and him being able to attack the rim along with being there for those threes, I think it gives him a lot of scoring opportunities, like him over 14.5.
JVT's thoughts on the NBA Finals on the other side, and a whole bunch of U.S. Open, which begins tomorrow at Pinehurst in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
U.S. Open, golf's third major tomorrow. Get an in-depth betting preview of the U.S. Open with VSiN's golf betting experts on the Long Shots podcast. It's called Long Shots. Wes Reynolds, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bydelon. I'm not sure who that is. Break down every aspect of this year's toughest major, including their best bets. You can watch Long Shots today, right after this show, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, right here on VSiN.
That's right.
I thought about you yesterday, because when John Rahm pulled out, I was like, didn't Kelly just record Long Shots and he was going to fade Rahm? Like, no, how much did you devote to that?
I sound like such a jackass on there. Being like, this is such a great fade opportunity.
Oh, but man.
I found Tommy Fleetwood. Oh, God. I found Fleetwood in town. Ed Boyd, minus 104 in a matchup over Rahm. I hammered it. And I was like, this is going to be a high stakes weekend. Oh boy, like this is going to be fun. And then Rahm with Charles.
I want to bring JVT in for this. Jonathan Von Tobel, our NBA senior analyst, and of course co-host of VSiN Primetime, which he does with Tim Murray here weekdays at the network. Joey Chestnut has been banned. Now this is one of these things that I saw come up on the phone yesterday, but didn't care enough to pursue. But I was like, oh, Joey Chestnut got banned. Banned from July 4th Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest because he signed an endorsement deal with a plant-based hot dog company. Impossible Foods, JBT tells me off air. Chestnut has won every year since 2015, and my only thought reading this was, has anyone checked on Mitch and Pauly? Like, are they okay?
Yeah.
Or is this the episode? Is this the part of the behind the music of Follow the Money where they spiral into drugs, depression, and alcohol?
What?
Do you remember Behind the? Oh, you're too young for Behind the Music.
No, I remember that. Yeah.
VH1's Behind the Music, which at the time in the late '90s was like the greatest documentaries you could ever see. It was before 30 for 30s. They had like a template where like a band would rise from oblivion, or an artist.
Right.
Then, because of some internal strife, egos, someone dies, drugs, depression, alcohol, whatever, they would just go to rock bottom, and then they would rise from the ashes. That was the template for all of them. It's like when Behind the Music returns, Lynyrd Skynyrd spirals into drug, depression, and alcohol. It's like every one of those was like. So I'm like worried about Mitch and Paul. Someone should check on this. John, is this a big thing on your radar?
Oh, I mean, I think so. Look, 4th of July, there's not much going on. This is a big betting event, and I actually think it makes it more interesting.
Now
right?
it's because way more bettable,
different
right?
Options.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there was only one betting option for you in this competition. It was over-under hot dogs for Joey Chestnut. Now we're looking at different matchups. We're looking at the futures board. We're seeing who's going to win this thing. Like, there's so many different angles now that you can take that he's been banned. Look, Nathan's, let's not make any if, ands, or buts about this. Nathan's are cowards, right? They just let the man eat. He's one of our greatest athletes that we've ever seen.
Oh,
and you're just eliminating him from this because of an endorsement deal. It's ridiculous. But it does make it more interesting from a betting perspective. I'm going to say Handel's going to be up for the 4th of July hot dog eating contest.
Well, this is the same thing.
I agree with you on that.
Well, it was at Kobayashi, right? Didn't he sign with like another like major league eating like league or something? And they were like, no, you got to be only a part of our league. You can't compete anymore.
This is major league eating turning into boxing, right? Boxing has held back some of its greatest fights because of bureaucratic red tape and nonsense of all of these promoters protecting their biggest fighters. It's a little bit different. Now the bureaucracy is getting in the way of having two great athletes go at it. So what I have proposed, Gil, I proposed this yesterday, is we're having these stupid golf matches all the time, which I think have jumped the shark. Nobody really cares about them anymore. Give me a match between Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi. They are free agents. Let them go at it. Let's pick a food. I will pay for it. I'll get Netflix, whatever it is. Let's get another one in here now that these two aren't going to be on the 4th of July. Now the Chestnut's out. No holds barred. Let's get this thing done.
It's a great call.
Boy, did I ask the right person.
People would watch that more than they'll watch July 4th.
Before we move on from this, did I hear correctly? Did you just call him our greatest living athlete? Is that what you just said about Joey Chestnut?
I said one of. You could argue Michael Jordan. You could argue with some of these others, but I think he's one of our greatest living athletes.
He's up there.
My goodness. Okay. Let's talk NBA Finals. I remember when ESPN did that, 100 Greatest Living Athletes, and Kornheiser picked Secretariat number one, and he took, like, all kinds of incoming on it. Imagine if it was JBT's. I was like, oh, Joey Chestnut. Okay. I'm just worried about the follow the money guys, because it's a huge deal for them, right? Don't they have them on all the time? So I'm just worried about them. Hope they're okay.
I'd be more worried about Mitch, who just adopted a young baby boy. How about that?
Can we congratulate Mitch on air? Yes. We found out yesterday after the show. Goulet came here and he told us that Mitch and his wife adopted a little boy. What a blessing. I texted Mitch yesterday, but I'll say it on air what I said to him, which is, well, congratulations, mazel tov. What a absolute life-affirming, life-changing thing. And may it be everything that he and his wife ever imagined it to be, to the positive. So congratulations to Mitch on that. Obviously much more of an important thing. Okay, NBA Finals. We were just talking, Kelly and I, about the Porzingis injury, which, again, is a very rare one. There's not really a comp for this, so we can't lean on, oh, that guy had this and he was out for this amount of time. I'm, again, just spider senses for me. I don't think there's any way he plays tonight. I'm not sure he plays again, quite frankly. I don't know. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. If that's the case, if he's out, let's start with tonight. How much does that move the needle for you? Because it incrementally moved the betting line.
Yeah, I think it moves, for me, it moves the needle, I think, more from a total perspective than it does from a side perspective. With him not out there, it does a lot of different things for Dallas. First off, defensively for Dallas, now you, thank God, have finally somewhere to stash one of your centers defensively. Right now, you can have somebody as a non-shooting threat, because the guy who's going to be out there instead of Al Horford is probably going to be Luke Kornet. So you're perfectly fine putting your five on their five and not being in a position where you're going to get destroyed. On the other end, and why I think this helps offensively, is now Luka Doncic is going to have a true center to go after, and he's going to be able to attack drop coverage. Kornet is going to drop. They're going to have success there. The lobs might come back in those minutes too. So I think that helps your offense kind of open up here. But I do think we have to remember, Gil, Kornet, if he does play and Kristaps Porzingis does not, he is still coming off of the bench. We're still talking about maybe 20 minutes for Kornet in these spells, and Al Horford's minutes are generally going to go up. And I don't know if that impact is enough. If you're right, and by the way, I tend to agree with you, because the Celtics have lied every step of the way about Porzingis from before the series all the way up to this point right now. So I think that it's impactful from a scoring standpoint, and the market kind of bet these overs, right? Game one really went over, or the number went up. Game two, you saw a little bit of as well. I think you're more willing to bet these games over now if Porzingis is not going to play, as opposed to rush to bet the Dallas Mavericks to win this series. Because while it's impactful, you still got to figure out how to contain this dribble penetration that has destroyed you through two games. And you still have a team that is one of the best shooting teams, best catch and shoot shooting teams, that has shot absolutely abhorrently through the first two games. And that has yet to come around too. So I don't think it moves the needle for me from, hey, Dallas has a chance. I think it's more of these games become a little bit more higher scoring because Dallas can actually operate on offense.
So let's clarify that. So you believe that Dallas does have a puncher's chance here to come back and win this series, or you do not?
No, I don't. I want to make that clear. No, I don't. Like, I think that Boston's going to win this series. I still think there's a perfectly reasonable chance that they still win this in about five, which is what my my selection was before the series began. Because I think one of the things out of all of the conversations we've had about this series, the one thing that is not really being talked about enough is the fact that the Celtics have figured out this defense. They are shooting 83% at the rim. They went 14 of 14 in game one. They went 20 of 27 in game two. Their spacing has absolutely demolished one of the best paint defenses in the NBA. And you are still, for a vast majority of your minutes on the floor, because Al Horford's going to start and be your starting center. If Porzingis cannot play, you're going to have a five that is going to be needed to be taken, to be noticed, right? Defensively, you're going to have to respect him. And that, I think, is still going to be there. So I think all of the advantages that Boston has are still there. I just think you get more scoring from Dallas and maybe these games get a little bit higher scoring.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you this, and I'm not putting you on blast because I'm going to raise my hand and say I'm front of the line for this. I said this in some form the last couple days, I have felt that I have had less of a feel of this NBA playoffs as a collective than I have in any postseason in any sport that I can actually remember. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there was one. But I just feel like I was wrong about everything, with the headline being, of course, Denver losing to Minnesota in seven. But I've been wrong about multiple things. Then I thought that Minnesota-Denver was the NBA Finals, de facto NBA Finals, and so on and so forth. Do you feel that way? Do you feel, maybe not the worst, but do you feel like it's up there in terms of, you know, postseasons that have not gone as precisely as you thought they would have? And if you do, is there a reason for that? Is there something happening in the league that is causing this?
So I think you guys talked about this on Monday when I was on Follow the Money, and as I was driving home and listening, I said, uh-huh, yep, I was listening as you were talking about it. I agree. And I do think that some of this does have to do with the injuries that we've experienced. You know, there's been quite a few injuries that have changed series. I think one of the best examples is New York and Indiana. As somebody who had laid 1.5 games in New York and felt confident in the Knicks, they go up 2-0, and then what happens? OG Anunoby gets hurt, Mitchell Robinson gets hurt, and then the rest of the way, they play like a team that has nobody left. And we can go through series after series where you kind of see some of those examples. You get a wild series like Timberwolves Nuggets, which was all over the place. But I do think with the injuries and guys being in and out of the lineups, I think that has helped with the, I think, chaos, you can say, of what this postseason has been to a certain extent. I'm with you. I have not had the best read overall.
I'll also bring up what I told you on the break of the, if you would have told me that the Mavericks would look this much worse than the Pacers from last round, that would have been the most shocking thing to me going into
That's right. Just when you think it can't get any more ridiculous, right? Yeah. And I guess, and you can't predict that thing. I guess the only, I guess there is a listener or two out there who are probably like, with Thibodeau, you could have actually predicted this, right? Like, that's the one team that you might have been able to, like, I probably should stay away from. But other than that, you just can't, right? I mean, it just is what it is, as the kids say. John, appreciate the Joey Chestnut insight as well. Thank you, sir.
Of course, you got it.
At me, JVT. JVT, weight loss thing going well? Are you feeling confident about it with Dustin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's going to lose.
Okay, there's our quick update on that. Look at him, having beverages with hints of flavor. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. We'll come back. We'll talk about multiple sports, including golf next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that's Zyn. So what makes Zyn number one? Here are the stats. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. It's available in 10 varieties and 2 strengths, and is made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, it delivers up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction per pouch. Whether you're managing your fantasy lineup on the go, watching the game from the stands, or cheering on your favorite team from the couch, you can get the nicotine satisfaction you want with Zyn. Not sure if Zyn is for you? Give it a try with our 10-day trial. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com/Zyn10. That's Zyn, Zyn.com/Zyn10. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free. What else can you say that about in life? Don't answer that, Kelly.
I want.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Now that I ask it, probably shouldn't have. Trip Tepper. An argument could be made that the Kobe Bryant trade orchestrated by Jerry West is the greatest trade in NBA history. You could absolutely make that argument. A draft day trade with the Charlotte Hornets, engineered by the great Jerry West, who, in case you missed it, passed away at the age of 86, was announced this morning. DP, advocate Advocate Skirmish has Drew Holiday at 5-1 for MVP. Doesn't help us here in Nevada there, DP, but thank
shorter.
You.
Wow.
Yeah. Teasers and parlays. We need a segment each week where Dr. Gil Alexander breaks down tendons and ligaments to so eloquently, along with bouncer Kelly Bidlin pronouncing tennis player and hockey goalie names. I'm for it.
I got something better for you. How about we got USA versus India ICC T20 match starting right now in Long Island.
We got to get Dan Weston on.
Yeah,
you're right.
I do. Apparently, U.S. cricket's like a thing or something. Just beat Pakistan last week. It was a big deal.
It's like one of the largest upsets in sports history.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
3JackH3131. Gil, behind the music was great, but can we bring back pop-up videos? Wow.
Oh, that was some pop-up
video. Pop-up video.
Pop-up video.
What did they do? They had, like, comedians commenting on stuff that was going down in the videos?
Yeah, it would be like music video, yeah, and then little text would pop up on screen. It's awesome. It's like, remember Mystery Science Theater 3000 or whatever? I loved that
show, too. I do not.
I do not. Oh, they used to watch, like, old movies, and then they just comment over them the whole time?
When Behind the Music continues, Rick James laments not remembering 5 years of his life. Three Jack also goes on to say, looking forward to the MLB wins in June update as a holder of a Baltimore Orioles ticket. Great show as always. Oh, good. Well, thank you for that. The current update, your Baltimore Orioles. Boop, 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 boop. Just checking this out right now. Your Baltimore Orioles should be at the top or near the top. Sorry, I didn't have this prepared as we Ron Burgundy through these.
It's okay. I discovered my second favorite player on the Baltimore Orioles the other day. You know Ryan Mountcastle is my favorite. I didn't know the second baseman had such a great name, too. Jordan Westberg. Westberg. That's a good one.
Jordan Westberg.
Like
gotcha.
That.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yankees 8-2, Orioles 8-3. Leading the June sweepstakes so far. The Astros, 6-4. Cody, Brooksgate, our guy from yesterday that we were talking about with baseball stats, he just put out something 7 minutes ago about teams that have performed the worst this year against the Rockies, the White Sox, and the Marlins. And there are the Guardians at the top of that, and that's what cost us May bet on this. And finally, the Auburnist. We'll read more tweets later. Let's not forget about the futures bets in the hot dog eating contest. Found the field 7-1 against Joey Chestnut before the news. Isn't that getting voided, though?
Probably.
Ah, Auburnist. Good,
I mean,
good thinking, though.
Good thought.
Good thinking, man. SEC. He hates that, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen from Washington, D.C., commonly known as the DMV when you throw in Maryland, Virginia to all the kids today, it's our buddy Sia Najad who joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line to talk U.S. Open. He's the host and analyst for Monumental Sports Network, and you can follow him on Twitter at Sia, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D, Najad on Twitter. How you doing, Sia?
I'm doing well. You all just took me down memory lane. Like the VH1 MTV old reality music related, sometimes not music related. Like we could go to like Celebrity Rehab. Like there's so many different shows that were really good content that are irreplaceable. We don't see them anymore today.
What a great way to grow up, right? It was so good back then. U.S. Open, Pinehurst. What are you looking for here in a golfer, and how are we starting with Scottie Scheffler? How are we dealing with him?
By the way, Surreal Life, that's another really good one. Go back and watch those. How are we dealing with Scottie? So this is interesting. So last week, here's how I dealt with Scottie. I bet outrights in the without Scottie Scheffler market, and one of them was Colin Morikawa. Now, I bet him both ways. I bet Colin Morikawa at 14-1, and then I bet him at 10-1. This is last week, 10-1 without Scottie Scheffler. I think you can do that this week, but I do think there's also an argument that while Scottie Scheffler is clearly an unbelievable course fit, and while he's clearly the best golfer in the world, I think this golf course offers enough variance, enough random trouble and potentially bad luck that you could just go ahead and roll the dice and just play the outright market with Scottie Scheffler included. I think it really comes down to your risk tolerance, how much the number is depleted if you do it without Scottie Scheffler. So far, I've only placed two outright bets, and they've both been with Scottie Scheffler because I placed these bets early when I knew the without Scottie Scheffler market wasn't even going to be available. It was Sunday afternoon when I took Colin Morikawa at 20-1 and Hideki Matsuyama at 50-1. So I may go back, since I've only bet two guys, I may go back and add one or two plays, and I'm still deciding deciding whether or not those plays are going to include Scottie Scheffler or be without Scottie Scheffler. But I think you could play it either way this week.
And Sia points that out because even last week or the week before, I can't remember, it was the week before because I wasn't here last week, you were playing outright markets that did not include him, correct? And now you're saying right. For this one, you're fine. By the way, I played Scheffler top 5 minus 135, and I played Scheffler top 10 minus 235.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. I'm kind of chuckling over here because I made those same – I made Morikawa and Decky bets, I think, on the same day, same time as you, Sia. That's why I emailed you this morning. I hope you win a lot of money this week.
Top 20s, top 30s. I see you got a couple.
Yeah, so as you can tell, I like Hideki Matsuyama. I like what he can do on tough courses. We saw even round 4 at the Memorial. Like, that was a really tough round for pretty much everybody other than a handful of players. Hideki Matsuyama was one of those handful of players. I think his odds are sort of depressed a little bit because he has been shaking off injuries, it feels like, over the last couple of years, but certainly earlier in the year, and he had a recent withdrawal. I like how he looked at the Memorial, and so I like him as an outright, but I also like him as a top 20 play, especially when I'm getting plus 160. So I've got Hideki in the top 20 market there. I think you could ladder him. Again, you got to be careful with ladder, and by laddering, I mean you could take him top 10, top 20, top 30, and just kind of adjust your unit size accordingly. With that said, again, that this course does offer a lot of blow-up opportunities, so you could ladder somebody, and this is not, you know, he could completely bomb. But I do like Hideki's ability to shine on a tough course, especially with his recent form. Other finishing position plays, a couple of guys that played well last week and I think are good at tough courses, are good at saving par, which is what you're going to need to do. Alex Noren, T30 at plus 165, and Christian Bezuidenhout at plus 170. Bezuidenhout had a really good week last week. He doesn't feel like a great course fit because he's not great off the tee. He's not super accurate. He's not super long, but he has been super dialed in with his long irons, and we know his short game is there. And so the short game is going to be really important this week. Those are a few finishing position plays I like.
Whenever I hear Bezuidenhout, I hear Matt Brown in the background just screaming his name. Every time.
Hey, see, I got a question for you. I feel like there's not a lot of people talking about this week, but you don't have him on your card. I don't have him on my card. So I think you're the perfect person to ask this. Cam Smith. I feel like everybody's either fading him or betting on him. Where do you stand on Cam Smith this week?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't love his form coming in. I did see a long thread on Twitter about somebody who followed his round. I literally was just looking at it like 10 minutes ago, and he looks to be in pretty good form according to that thread. And there was like video along with the thread, so I mean, it was reliable information. At least in his practice round, he looked very comfortable. He's a guy that has sort of that strokes gain magic beans where, you know, like he can kind of figure it out, save par, do things on a tough course that a lot of people can't do or aren't even comfortable trying. So I think Cam Smith is fine. He's not going to make my outright card. I mean, admittedly, some of these live guys, I just don't know what to do with. Like, I'm not betting Brooks Koepka either. I'm not betting Bryson. I think those two guys are going to be some of the popular names. I have no problem. I take no issue with anybody betting Cam Smith. And honestly, I think in the top 20, top 30 market, he makes a lot of sense, but he's not making my outright card.
All right, 60 seconds, Sia. Rafa on clay, Iga on clay, and then Sia Najat on first round leader bets. What do you got?
Oh, I got Rafa for one. Also, I got the Mavericks tonight. I'm wearing Dallas blue.
Oh, there you go.
I like them money line. I think they're live to win this series. It's plus 600 or so.
Let's go.
Just going out there. All right. First round leader is Colin Morikawa. He's great in first rounds. The only reason I didn't have him last week as a first round leader is because he started in the afternoon and he still almost got the first round lead. Love the form. Cashed him last week in the without Scottie Scheffler market. Give me plus 3,000 as a first round leader. Here's three more. Justin Thomas and Tony Finau. I'll group them together because I don't think they can do it over 4 days with the putter, but I do think they can do it for one, and their ball striking has been amazing. So give me Justin Thomas at 45-1, Tony Finau at 55-1, and then finally taking a shot again at Sam Burns. It burned me 2 weeks ago, no pun intended, because he was in a two-way tie and then he got passed by David Skins, everybody. But I little FOMO on that. I'm going to take him a little sprinkle at 60-1.
See, thank you so much. By the way, you said you'd love the Mavs to win the series. Kelly's got a ticket. He didn't even get excited when you said he's so like downtrodden.
I hope C is right, man. I hope he's
right. I like the number right now.
He likes the number. Always bet the number. There was a guy at the South Point that used to say that. Bet the number. Thank you, Sia. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
We're coming back. College baseball, College World Series with Matt Grissom next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
When Behind the Music continues, Willie Nelson smokes pot on the White House roof. We're this close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN, that's code V-S-I-N, for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. I'm telling you, man, that show is iconic.
That was great.
Was that?
It was great. It was
awesome. Oh, dude. Do they show them anywhere anymore?
Probably.
I would love to go back and watch them and see if they were as good as I remember them to be.
Like, is MTV2 still a channel? Like, I bet you they. I think all these channels still exist.
Remember at the South Point, we used to have MTV2 up and they would show the old videos?
Yeah, they just played old music videos. We used to love it.
I was like,
it.
Oh, this is how MTV used to be. They show videos. This is awesome.
Yeah, you're right. It does exist because you're right. We watched it at the South Point.
Do you want to have the old primetime action off-air conversation on air? No, you don't want to have that. The thing about the...
I don't know. I don't
Missoula? You don't want to know?
The conversation we're talking about.
Bookie beat down. We get tweets. I have a future ticket on the Celtics from back in February. I was not interested in hedging my bet at all, but this Kristaps injury could, in capitals, blow this series open. The conversation will change with a Mavs win tonight. Give me Dallas to win the series 4-3 at 12-1. You see, that's what I was getting at. Like, I do think that this cracks the door open in a way that, again, like, was he a factor in game 2? He was not. He did make a difference in game 1. Is he the focus, the front and center focus? No, but every little bit helps.
I'm going to combine what you and JVT said, because I think you used a great phrase there. Cracks the door open.
Yeah.
Can the Mavericks take advantage? Well, I don't know.
Different story. You're right. And Matthew Mayberry, Hideki is 35-1 in both the Scotty and non-Scotty markets. Bet it now before that changes. There you go.
Pro tip. I highly suggest you take the same number in the without Scotty Scheffler market.
When Behind the Music continues, Andy Gibb is introduced to something he'll love more than Victoria Principal. I could do this all show. Make it stop.
I'm not egging you on. Ladies, please do.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some College World Series. You can find him on Grissom on X on Twitter. CollegeBaseballInsiders.com is where he plies his trade. It's Matt Grissom, everybody, from Arkansas. What's happening?
Oh, just hanging out, man, watching college baseball. It's a beautiful time of the year.
How are your bets looking? I know we lost Georgia the other night, which was very depressing.
Rest in peace, Georgia Bulldogs. I've still got Tennessee. I took them 18-1 in the preseason to win it all. A&M 15-1. They're kind of on life alert. I got a real bad number on Florida. I think they were 8-1 in their preseason top 5. This Florida Gators team looks kind of like they are resembling the 22 Ole Miss team, which scares the crap out of me. They have all the talent in the world. The stats have backed it up. But they've got a pretty fair side of the bracket, in all honesty. Texas A&M, they were really good through the regular season. They had a three-headed monster in Ryan Prager, Tanner Jones, and Justin Lampkin. Lampkin hadn't been the same. Jones has kind of been injured. They started Shane Sadeo in their second game of the Super Regionals. He went off limping or holding his elbow. Braden Montgomery, their superstar two-way player, he is down with an ankle injury. So this Texas A&M team, at plus 330, I think you can sell them right now. I don't think they're going to win it. Tennessee's got the battle of the ACC on the left side of the bracket. I feel like they should be your shortest shot to win it all. But you could get testy here. I really like Florida State, plus 750. If Jamie Arnold goes and beats Chris Stamos and AJ Causey in that opening game against Tennessee, those odds are going to flip-flop. And I think the Florida State Seminoles have a pretty good shot of doing it. Jamie Arnold's been pretty spectacular as of late. So, yeah, we have a jam-packed field in the all ACC SEC Invitational.
That's amazing. 4 SEC teams, 4 ACC teams. I don't want anybody to confuse the applause. My applause was for the 2022 hottie totty Ole Miss team, which we cashed 101.
I know it was.
But we got FSU.
Yeah, we booed this year.
What's that?
We boo the Gators here.
Yes, we boo the Gators now. Okay, let's do this one by one because and you gave your preliminary thoughts there, but let's do this bracket by bracket. And when I say bracket, let's just flash this up at Visa.com again because
Gil, explain to everybody where people advance when they win or lose after.
So
the first game.
Let's just take the top, right? So and we'll do these one by one with Matt, but let's just take North Carolina, Virginia, right? So the winner advances as it would in any bracket, right?
Yeah.
Tennessee, Florida State, same thing. The winner advances to play the winner of North Carolina, Virginia, the next game, if you will. The losers fall into that game five bracket below them.
Ah.
By game five, all they mean is the order of the event. So the other two teams will, the other two games will be played before that in the other bracket, in bracket two. So those, so the winners, as you keep winning, you keep advancing. But every time you lose, if you lose twice, so if you lose that game five, meaning your second loss out of the shoot, you're done.
Right.
But the lose, it's impossible to explain on the radio. Like, it's just, you just have to look at it and you get it, okay? It just makes sense.
It could have made it so much easier.
Yeah. And at the end, it's a best of three. When you get to the finals, finally, it's a best of three. That's, then it gets less confusing. Okay, let's take this one by one. So let's start with that all ACC matchup in the first bracket there, North Carolina and Virginia. Just handicap that for us. And again, do you see game lines anywhere for Friday on these?
I do. I had them up, excuse me, on FanDuel. I think North Carolina was -165, somewhere in that ballpark. If it all depends on who starts. If Shea Sprague goes against Evan Blanco for Virginia, I like North Carolina. But Virginia has been really, really tough to beat here lately. And they've got a coach that's been here before in Omaha. They know how to perform. UNC's bugaboo all season has been their pitching. They lost their would-be Friday night starter in Jake Knapp before the season. Then Folger Boas came in, and he performed really well. Then he went out injured. They're kind of just piecemealing it together right now. But the fact that they beat LSU, that really hot LSU team in their regional, and then they swept through the super regionals. I mean, who's to say that either one of these teams couldn't go on a deep run? I think North Carolina, it has the better bats. But, I mean, laying -165, whatever that line's going to be, I think that may be a little too steep for an all-SEC game.
All right. Did you just hint that you like Florida State and the plus money against Tennessee?
I do. I think it's around +200 right now. That's way too high. Our projections have them. They should be around +110. And like I said, Jamie Arnold, he is the real deal ace. And I feel like how they just performed in that UConn Super Regional or in the Super Regional against UConn, I feel like that momentum carries over. Tennessee showed that they can get got. And Evansville, hats off to the Purple Aces. If you took them +700 to win a game, they won game two, but their season came to an end. Tony Vitello's got a great team. Don't get me wrong. I just think the value is on Florida State right now because Tennessee could very easily slip up in a game.
Yeah.
And this especially against a stud pitcher like Arnold.
And it really does in such an abbreviated kind of format. Lining up the stud pitcher is so key in all of this. Let's go to the bottom here. Kentucky, which is the last team in the other night, they got by Oregon State, I believe it was, in a game where Oregon State was being no hit and it was tied at two late, I think, of the seventh inning. Kentucky against NC State. NC State took down our Georgia Bulldogs bet.
Yeah, Kentucky, a team that I've said I'm tired of betting against. I sat there right next to you on the Shield and said they are a statistical anomaly. They don't lose games, and even though they're dead last in the field of eight in virtually every single statistic, I don't know if they lose to NC State. This team is playing really well. Sam Heifel's probably going to go for NC State, and then Trey Pouzer for Kentucky. Kentucky's probably going to be in the -145, 150 ballpark. Maybe take the plus money on NC State, but I like this game to go under. I think it's going to be a gritty, grind-out game. Pouzer and Heifel both typically go six or seven innings. So I feel like with that bigger ballpark in the Chuck, I just would lean under in that one. And then Texas A&M, Florida, Ryan Prager is pretty much where Hagan Smith was for Arkansas. He's their stud ace, and eventually you rely on him too much and he cracks. And we saw it with Hagan against Kansas State. And I think this Florida Gators team is playing too hot right now. I feel like if they could get after Prager early and get to that Aggie bullpen, it could make for a really long day for Jim Schlossnagel and this Texas A&M team, who's very talented. Don't get me wrong. They've still got other guys in that lineup outside of Braden Montgomery. You just have two trajectories that are completely opposite for Florida and Texas A&M, albeit that Texas A&M did get through that regional with or super regional with Oregon. They got to play a three seed from the Pac-12. It's not really an even playing field. Florida went into Clemson and knocked them off in two games as well. So I like the Gators, the under in Kentucky, NC State. Little nibble on Florida State, money line against Tennessee. And then I'll stay away from North Carolina, Virginia. If you want to play, play it under.
I like it. Who wins it all, Matt? What's your instinct?
I hope to God Tennessee does, but if they don't, I'll take Florida State.
My man.
Let's go, Noles.
Let's go. Thank you, Matt. Coming back, Kelly's thoughts on the U.S. Open next.